Shri Radhaya Pranayamahima Ki Dushobanaya Iva Swadyo Yenad Bhuta Madhurima Ki Dushobamadiyaha So Kyung Cha Syama Danu Bhavata Ki Dushambeti Lobhad Tad Bhava Dhyasamajanishati Garba Sindho Harindahu Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada often said, don't be foolish. And in fact, as I'll read now a quote from his paper called Who is Crazy? The whole Vedic literature tells us not to be foolish. This is the quote. All Vedic literature is imploring us, don't sleep, be awake, get up. Get up from this sleep. Utilize the boon which you now have. Don't be foolish. So here Srila Prabhupada is quoting the famous Upanishadic statement. Utishta jagrata prapya varang nibodhata. It just means that. It means utishta means get up. Jagrata means be awake. Prapya varane bodhata means to become aware of the opportunity or the vara, the gift that we have. So that is the same statement is given in more detail by Lord Krishna in his teachings to Uddhava. Labdva sudurlabhamidang bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam apihadhira turam yatetana patedanu mrityayava nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. He tells Uddhava that this human form of life is attained after many, 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 many births. It is special. Human life is special. It's very valuable. Why is that? Because that is not directly stated here, but this we have to understand that this verse is spoken within the context of a broad, very wide teachings of Krishna to Uddhava about the position of the living being in the material world and how we should get out of this material world. So we understand that the human life is very valuable because it's the opportunity to get free from birth and death. So manusham artadam, it gives special value if it's properly utilized. And even though it's very short-lived, someone who is very sober, he utilizes this human life. What for? For performing such activities by which he will not get born again. Death is certain. Jatasya hi dhruvam rityam dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Death is certain. And Krishna says here in this verse, half verse from Bhagavad Gita, which I just spoke, which I just repeated. And birth is also certain. For one who has been born, death is certain. And for one who has died, birth is certain. But there's a loophole, how to get out of this. Or how to get one's last birth. Last birth means not to get born in this material world, to be born in the spiritual world. So that is possible. Death is certain, but before death we should perform activities so that we don't get born in this material world. Of course, there are so many opportunities for sense enjoyment also. But Krishna says that opportunities for sense enjoyment are always possible in every species, everywhere. But only in the human form of life it is possible to pursue the path of self-realization. So don't be foolish. If we have such a great opportunity and we don't take it, that is foolishness. Foolish, Srila Prabhupada says, don't be foolish. Well, there are different aspects of foolishness. One aspect of foolishness is to have a great opportunity and not to take it. Sometimes the young members of our Krishna consciousness movement, members of the public or sometimes their own family members, admonish them that you should be studying and making a good career. Don't be foolish, they will say to our devotees. Don't be foolish. Don't waste this opportunity. Now you have to study. Otherwise, later you'll have to suffer. You'll have to be a street sweeper instead of a head of a corporation. Of course, a lot of the people who take university degrees, they end up driving auto rickshaws or just sitting at home because they don't want to do any work because it's below their level. So they'd rather just do nothing rather than drive an auto rickshaw. But anyway, it's the same idea that now we have the chance to make our future better. Of course, there's also in the Upanishads the consideration of Shreya and Preya. Shreyas and Preyas. Preyas means that which we is for our immediate benefit, and Shreyas is that in this context, Shreyas means that which is for our ultimate benefit. So for our ultimate or long-term benefit, we may act in a way that at the present time doesn't seem to be for our benefit. As the example was often given by Srila Prabhupada, that a child doesn't want to school, go to school. I can just play. Why? What's this, sitting and studying? What's the use of that? So the understanding is that although he may feel more happy now by playing instead of studying, in the long term it's better if he studies so that he can get some better job. I'm just giving a material example here. I don't believe there's any such thing as better job, ultimately, anyway. But it is better to be, in many ways it may be better to be sometimes a pharmacist or a doctor than to be a sweeper in the street. But then if we consider that human life is so temporary, then how much difference does it make anyway? So, Shreyas and Preyas. What is our long-term benefit, ultimate benefit? Our ultimate benefit is to get free from birth and death and go to Krishna in the spiritual world. So don't be foolish. It's foolish to waste this opportunity. But another aspect of foolishness is ignorance. Simply not to know. Most people won't even know that we have this opportunity to get free from birth and death in this life. Even the so-called Hindus, who they have some vague kind of belief in rebirth, but no one ever came to them and said, Utishta Jagrata Prapya Varang Nibodhata. Get up, wake up, utilize this opportunity of human life. They never heard this, or they don't have an understanding that we're supposed to get free from birth and death, from the suffering of this world. There is some vague idea that we get birth after birth, and they don't really think about it very much. So the acharyas like Srila Prabhupada come to shake us. Usually not literally, but Srila Prabhupada's words were so powerful that many people felt like physically shaken. It's so strong. Why is that? Because we need shaking out of our foolishness. So ignorance, that's another kind of foolishness. We may say the child is foolish. In the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, the verse refers to the mriga as murha, the deers as murha, foolish. And that's translated as the foolish deer. Foolish means they're animals in this sense. They don't know. And they have no higher understanding of the purpose of life. So ignorance, to be ignorant means we're also foolish. So Krishna comes to teach us Bhagavad Gita and show his attractive pastimes and to show his attractive self, so everyone will be attracted to him. And the first teaching, here Prabhupada says all Vedic literature is imploring us. So Krishna himself, he is the object of all Vedic knowledge. He is the speaker of Vedic knowledge. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he is instructing and imploring. Do you know what imploring means? It means very strongly requesting, but it's requesting from the heart. Please, 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 just. So like this, imploring. Srila Prabhupada is, in another quote from a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, again, don't be foolish. Dehino, the proprietor of the body is Brahman, the spirit soul. Try to understand it. Don't be foolish to accept this body as I am. This is dogs, cats philosophy. This is not Brahmana's philosophy. The Brahmana's philosophy is that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. Now, foolishness means ignorance. And Srila Prabhupada many times expressed amazement at how people, he met people all over the world. He especially liked to meet educated people with the understanding yad yad acharati shreshas tatta deve taro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanu bhartate. That common people follow the leaders of society. So Srila Prabhupada, he met with all kinds of people, but he especially liked to discuss with more educated people, with the idea that if the more educated people can understand this Krishna consciousness, then others will also like to do so. Srila Prabhupada often expressed amazement that people, in spite of being so educated and in many ways very intelligent, very insightful, that they don't know that we are not the body and that we go from body to body to body. And even if it's explained to them, they don't understand. They have some blockage to understanding. A matter which Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, even an illiterate farmer in India understands. The big philosopher and scholar in the Western countries, they don't understand. Once Srila Prabhupada, on his morning walk in Vrindavan, he was out with his disciples, and one peasant working in the fields saw Srila Prabhupada coming, and he ran across the fields to offer obeisance at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, you see, this man is uneducated. In those days, it was presumed that a farmer was uneducated. Nowadays, everyone's got education of some sort. He's not educated, but he knows more of what needs to be known than the big professors in the Western world. Why is he coming and offering obeisances? He knows that I am born in my present situation due to my previous karmas. And I should offer obeisance to the saintly person. So yeah, he knows that. Whereas the big professors, they don't know anything about offering obeisances to saintly persons or bowing down or any such thing. Of course, it's not that everyone in the West is even at that time was completely foolish. Some people were less so. There was in Germany, Srila Prabhupada met with one Professor Durkheim, who was a philosopher of sorts who accepted reincarnation and had many followers. And it's a very nice exchange. This man, he was like the guru of many people in Germany, and the devotees they were on a walk with Srila Prabhupada talking with this Professor Durkheim, and they were just fascinated. They thought this is something wonderful. You see, there's this Srila Prabhupada, the great sage, the representative of countless generations of great rishis and sadhus, and he's with this Professor Durkheim, also an elderly man and a very wise man and looked up to by, and they're all the young disciples, and they were watching in awe. But actually the Durkheim, as he himself admitted, he said that he practically became the disciple of Prabhupada, because although Durkheim was, in terms of spiritual knowledge, he was far, far ahead of the average German or European, but he was far, far behind Srila Prabhupada. There are many instances like that. In Detroit, in the United States, two dignitaries of the Catholic Church came to meet Srila Prabhupada. One of them was quite a highly situated one. And they discussed, and Prabhupada, again, he was just clearly so much more spiritually knowledgeable than them. And then in the end, gave them prasadam and books. And when they left, they said, well, we feel... because they're all of Prabhupada disciples there, and they said, well, we feel like we've become your disciples also. So that's nice that they admitted that. So anyway, getting back to this point, and the same point Prabhupada was teaching to these people, trying to teach to them. Some of them had enough punya or whatever to understand and accept. The first basic point of spiritual knowledge, that we are not the body. This body is temporary. I am eternal. It's not a very difficult thing to understand. I'm not this collection of chemicals and blood and bones. I'm separate from this. Although at the present time I'm intimately connected, or appear to be intimately connected with it, actually I have no relationship, no real relationship. This body did not exist, and in future it will not exist, and I did exist and I will exist, therefore I have no real relationship with this body whatsoever. So not to understand this is foolish. To identify with this body is the beginning of all foolishness. Srila Prabhupada is saying, don't be foolish. He would often point out that the whole civilization is completely foolish. And why is that? Because they don't understand the basic point. These atheists, they're hammering, believe in God, don't believe in God. Then why do they bother? If there's no God, and then we're just chemicals, then why do they bother to try to convince us there's not God? Nothing has any meaning. We have to live our life happily now, and if you believe in God, it won't make you happy. What does it mean to live your life happily if you're chemicals? They should just shut up, that's all. There's no need, there's no meaning to anything, there's no meaning to them talking if they think that we're just chemicals. So the beginning foolishness is not to understand this basic point. We're not the body. If we think that we're the body, then we'll act in terms of this body's happiness. But then there's no happiness, actually, in terms of the body. If we understand that we're spirit soul, then if we actually understand that we're spirit soul, then we act on the spiritual platform. We don't act as if I can be happy on the platform of the body or the mind. It just to understand this simple point, that will completely revolutionize our lives. If we understand that I am eternal, I don't have any relationship with the body, then definitely our life is going to completely change, because everyone in this world is acting only on the platform of the body. Then another time Srila Prabhupada says, in a class in Bombay in 1974, he said, Shastra says, don't be foolish to live a life like dogs. Nayang deho deha bhajan riloke kashtan kaman arhate virbhujam ye. This is the description of foolishness, that having attained a human life, the human form of life, human body, then we should not act like stool-eating animals, like hogs, and endeavor hard for fulfilling material desires. So this is it's the same point, but it's come from the theoretical to the practical. Theoretical means we think I am the body. And practical means we make all endeavors for sense gratification. But that is foolishness. Actually, if we want sense gratification, then it's better to be in the body of a hog. People, they're sometimes surprised. You get born again, but you should only be born as a human being. But no, why? If we cultivate desires like a pig, then by the mercy of karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papatteye, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and His representatives, and according to our activities and desires, we get a body. We get a body as we desire it. So if we desire simply sense gratification without any discrimination, then the form of a hog is much better than that of a human being. There is a problem that, you get caught and you get killed, as you've probably all seen. In the Western countries, they can't imagine. They keep their pigs out of sight. But here in India, they wander around the streets, and time to time someone, their owner comes and catches them, and then they get killed. You've all seen that, is it? It's a common thing. Not very common, but common enough. You must have seen that. They catch the pig, and the pig knows, now I'm going to be killed, and screams so loud. But the pig owner is merciless. But they, up to that point, they're having a very nice life. Nice? Is that nice? To be a pig? But they think so. So Shastra says, Nayang deho deha bhajan riloke. Don't be foolish. Having got this human form of life, we shouldn't act like a pig. A pig has no discrimination. What to eat? They like to eat stool. To have sex, the young pig will try to have sex with its mother. You may have seen that also. They'll be drinking the sow, that means female pig. Maybe, usually they lie down for the piglets to suck the milk. But I've seen them standing up, a little piglet, and then when they feel full up, they run round to the back of the mother and try to have sex, although they're too small. This is horrible. But humans in the modern age, they think, oh, we're very advanced, so we should have more sense gratification. But advancements of civilization can be seen in restricting sense gratification for the sake of spiritual advancement. Not just the injunction is not just negative, don't live like a pig, that's negative, but there's the positive also. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyat yasmad brahma sokyam dvanantam. We should perform divine austerities. Tapo divyam. Everyone's performing some austerity, going to work, just living in this Kali Yuga, everything's such a struggle. Yeah, so difficult life in the modern age. But that's not counted as tapasya. Tapasya means voluntarily undertaking difficulty for the sake of getting a better future. So in one sense you could say going to school is some kind of tapasya. But usually that means that one will take some austerity for the sake of some better future. I use in Dala Vidyanagar, there used to be some hoardings. Tarp laga or something like that. Do tapasya with the idea of study the coaching courses. Come, tarp lag jao. That coaching courses that we'll work you hard. We'll make you work. You come to our coaching course and we'll make you work hard. So do tapasya. So they made it. They gave this analogy. So generally, the idea is to do some, to take some difficulty for the sake of some future benefit. And usually, people do that for material gains, as did Hiranyakashipu most famously. And until recently in Hindu culture, it was a common thing that the women would fast at least one day a week or do some kind of tapasya to propitiate some demigod for the benefit of their husband. Those days, I presume, are gone. I don't know if women are doing anything for the benefit of their husband nowadays. But it was like that, even a short time ago. But that's material. Rishabhdev, who Srila Prabhupada is quoting, he says, Tapo Divyam. We should perform divine austerities. That means those austerities which are meant to lead us out of this material world, ultimately to the lotus feet of Krishna. Tapo Devyam Putraka, he's speaking to his 100 sons. Tapo Devyam Putrakam Yena Sattvam Shudyad Yasmat Brahma Sokyam Tunanta. That will lead us to the position of Shuddha Sattva, beyond this material world, material qualities, to the spiritual position of unlimited, unending spiritual bliss. That is possible. By taking a little difficulty in this life, we can be saved from all difficulty in future and enter into eternal bliss with Krishna in the spiritual world. So not to do this is foolish. Everything in this world, big professors, engineers, scientists, all foolish because they missed the point of human life. Therefore, all Vedic literature is imploring us. And we can hear in Srila Prabhupada's voice when he's speaking. Of course, sometimes he'll speak in a relaxed way with his disciples, but especially when he's giving lectures or particularly preaching to others, we can this imploring tone in his voice. He's practically begging everyone, take up Krishna consciousness, begging or pounding, but he's very insistent and he wants to communicate this to others, that utilize this human form of life for Krishna consciousness. Don't suffer in this material world. So that he's urging them. That's another term. We can feel the urgency. We can hear the urgency in Srila Prabhupada's voice as he implores us, don't be foolish. Again and again, Prabhupada would say this, don't be foolish. But generally that's taken as very insulting if someone says, don't be foolish. I mean, if someone says, don't be foolish, that means you're calling them a fool and you're taking the position that you know better than them. But actually, it's a fact. Everyone in this world is a fool. Parabhavastavada bodhajata yavanna jignyasata atmatattvam. We're born in foolishness and our real intelligence never awakes as long as we do not inquire into the nature of who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. Atma Tattva. And then therefore we're defeated, all our efforts are defeated. We may be great scientists and great scholars, and great Vedic pundits, and, or a great military commander, or whatever, but our purpose is defeated as we are thrown out of this body, dragged out of this body and thrown into some other body, out of our control. So we should not be foolish. Don't be foolish. And it's the duty of the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement to who have been blessed by the mercy of Krishna through the agency of Srila Prabhupada to distribute this knowledge to save others from their own foolishness. We're distributing these books. Srila Prabhupada once asked his disciples, why are we distributing these books? Of course, Srila Prabhupada knew the answer, but he wanted to see if his disciples knew the answer. And then one of them gave the right answer, for giving knowledge. So foolish means not to have knowledge. That's one meaning of foolish. Another meaning of foolish is if you have knowledge and you still do the wrong thing. You still act against your own self-interest. But at least if we give these books, then people can have the knowledge of how to properly utilize their life. Otherwise, they don't know. They just don't know. They may think, well, I'm a Hindu and we believe in reincarnation, but they don't know. Where do they get their knowledge? Well, no one's giving proper knowledge of this. So this distribution of books, that is the Srila Prabhupada's books, that is the greatest service to human society. Far better than opening hospitals and mundane schools. And people think, oh, it's very great service to do this. But it doesn't actually help people. They have to get born again. They go to hospital or they go to a school, but that doesn't save them from birth and death. They go to a school, they get all the wrong kind of education. But if we give them a book, Srila Prabhupada said, if they read one line, one word, they will be benefited. And practically we can see in every line of Srila Prabhupada's books that there's more knowledge than in all the books you study at school put together. More real knowledge of what we really need to know. And you're experiencing that also as you're going out for book distribution. That you feel very happy to do so, is it not? You feel very happy. Why is that? Why do we feel happy? What is the happiness? The happiness means that Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased with us, then we become pleased. And we become happy seeing that people who didn't have this knowledge, they have now got this knowledge. It's the best opportunity they had in maybe millions of births. If they can take this book and if they follow it, then if they follow the instruction, then their life will be fully blessed. All these activities we're doing, building temples, especially the building temple, people they like to come, holding festivals, just to awaken people to this knowledge. If they come and see a big temple, they may be impressed, they may appreciate the spiritual atmosphere, then they want to know, oh, well, what's it all about? Why? Why this big temple? The atheists, they will say, well, why? They'll ask the same question, why is there this big temple? But they'll ask it in a different way. As if the more pious person will say, well, why is there this big temple? What's it all about? What are you teaching? And the atheist will say, why is there this big temple? It's just a waste of money to build a big temple. People are engaged in services, wasting time. They could be working in a factory. This is the atheistic way of thinking. So we have to know what is in Prabhupada's book so that we can answer all these wrong ideas, which even the pious people, they may be affected by that because they hear it and they don't have any better knowledge. They don't know. So we have to take knowledge from these books and instruct people, educate them. Don't be foolish. They may become angry, but then really you have to explain to them that actually your life is foolish. But we're not saying that you're a fool and condemning you. You're already condemned by your own foolishness. But come out of that. We do have... So you think you're better than me? No, I'm not better than you. But I do, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, have better knowledge than you. That we can say. You can also be benefited by that. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai. Hare Krishna.